Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
With the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock broadcast this morning. Hope that you had a great 4th of July this last Tuesday and that you enjoy the independence that we have in this country and especially the freedom that we have in Christ. Much, much better than any other kind of liberty or freedom that this world can offer, even our own United States of America. The freedom that we have in Christ is the best because it's something that can never be taken away by anyone else. I wanted to start with this quote this morning before we continue in James chapter 5. It says that man's way leads to a hopeless end, but God's way leads to an endless hope. I like the way that they contrasted those two things. Let me read it one more time. Man's way leads to a hopeless end. God's way leads to an endless hope. I hope you always remember that when you seek God and when you seek God's will and when you put God's will into practice in your life, when you strive to think God's thoughts and allow your mind and your life to be transformed by God's will and His Spirit, what a difference it will make in your life. I know it's made a huge difference in my life, and I'm thankful that it's made such a huge difference in so many other people's lives that I've talked to. This way of life that we have in Christ is not just religion, it's a way of life, and it's a way of life that has an endless hope attached to us. We were reminded on this last Sunday night by Kenneth Mickey from Reno, Nevada, of that we have a living hope into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And so what a great joy that is. And how sad that makes it when we turn to James chapter 5 and consider again what James is writing to the church. And probably more than likely, this is talking about those outside of the church, those that are persecuting even God's people, and especially their own laborers. But boy, I'll tell you what, we got to be careful and not take the truths and the principles that it's talking about here. And if we're guilty of any of these things in our own lives, then we certainly need to be ready to repent of those things and to make sure that this warning to the rich that James is talking about does not apply to us. So let's take a run at it one more time, starting in verse 1, James chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you." Wow, that is quite the condemnation. And so we need to realize that, like we talked about last week, that not only were these rich people that James talking about guilty for hoarding their wealth, for for just not using it, but also they were guilty of having their wealth at the cost of paying those who even helped them gain in it. You know, listen to what it says there in verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. I mean, come on. They wouldn't have been able to have that wealth if it wasn't in part for the laborers that they hired to harvest their field in the first place. They had not paid it. They had withheld their pay. You failed to pay your workers, not just overlooking it, but it was more like on purpose that I'm not going to pay you. I'm going to try to beat you out of it or skim me out of it or say you didn't work for it, you didn't deserve it, whatever the case may be. But I'll tell you what, that is unjust. That is unjust. And if we go over to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 13, even in the old law, the law that God gave his people Israel, there are some wonderful laws and principles to help us to understand justice and righteousness even in the 21st century. Leviticus 19 and verse 13, it says, "Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight." That was part of the law, that you were not to do that. You weren't to hold back the wages of a hired worker. Why? Well, because they depended on those things. They depended on that to feed their families and to take care of themselves even. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Again, the same principle is listed here. It says, Deuteronomy 24, 14, "Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you and you will be guilty of sin." That's exactly what we're talking about here in James. It's exactly what he was writing when he wrote this. This idea that if you don't pay them, they're going to call on the Lord against you. And Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 13, Jeremiah 22 and verse 13 follows this up where Jeremiah says, "Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor." And so, boy, we need to recognize what these were doing here. They were withholding their pay. They were being unjust. They were putting other people's lives, their employees, if you were, in a bad light. And the employees are going to be calling out against them. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Skillet called "Hero." Now, ultimately, it's talking about a hero in salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what these people, these poor that were being withheld their wages, they were crying out to the Lord too, and so they needed someone to come along and help them as well. Let's listen to our first song this morning.
In my faith today,
the yesterday.
I am just a man, not superhuman.
I'm not superhuman.
Someone saved me from the haze. It's just another war, just another family torn. Another day. making my mind today.
My voice will be heard today.
I've gotta make a stand, but I am just a man.
I'm not superhuman.
My voice will be heard today. It's just another war, just another family torn.
My voice will be heard today.
It's just another kill. The countdown begins to destroy us.
We're back this morning, and remember, this says that the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. This is really the idea in some other translations. It translates it Lord of Sabaoth. Now, this isn't Lord of the Sabbath, but Sabaoth is the idea of God as the commander of heaven's armies. In other words, their cries have reached the one who can dispatch all the armies of angels in heaven. And that's who hears the cries of those who have been defrauded. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 5, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, it says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. This is who these laborers are crying out against. And frankly, you know, whether it's these laborers, whether it's widows, whether it's the orphan, whether it's the distressed. You see, God doesn't like bullies, and God doesn't like people who take advantage of other people. God listens to the cry of those who are being oppressed. Now, there's a lot of people that think they're being oppressed because they're living wicked, ungodly lives, and they're living all kinds of perverted, wicked, ungodly things in their lives. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about those who are legitimately being cheated and robbed and taken advantage of. And they are innocent, and the ones who are working against them are evil. So these are the cries that are going to reach the Lord Almighty, and he will do something about it. He will do something about it. Maybe in the short time, but ultimately, certainly on Judgment Day. He goes on to say in verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. Okay, so not only were the guilty hoarding their wealth, not only did that come at the cost of not paying those who had helped gain their wealth in the first place, but they had lived in luxury and self-indulgence, fattening themselves while others went with so less. In Luke chapter 16, it talks about, starting in verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." And Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." And so I want you to see that here in this place, that the Lord was saying, listen, you know, you are living in self-indulgence, and you've lived in luxury and fattened yourself. Well, those things are going to come back and bite you. Again, it doesn't mean that if you have wealth that you're not going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean that if you don't help, you know, everybody around you. But what it's saying is that when you see needs, when things present themselves to you, if you just treat it like, well, who cares? Even if there's somebody sitting at my steps or sitting on my doorstep, that I don't have to do anything about it. Okay, that's kind of the attitude about it, that we're not willing to help at all. And so that rich man in this spiritual parable, I believe, is facing the consequences of his actions. And that's what James is saying here in verse 5. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. And just like the prodigal son over in Luke chapter 15 and verse 13, just squandering your wealth, just using your wealth on yourself and just blowing your money on self-indulgence, not thinking about the future, not thinking about anybody else around you, but just using it for yourself. That's the kind of self-indulgence that the scripture cries out against. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 4, you know, Solomon in all his wisdom kind of pursued all of these things for us in some ways to help us to see that it's all really meaningless. He says, starting in verse 1, "I said to myself, 'Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good.' But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and planted parks and all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me." But then he says, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." So, you know, the conclusion of all of Solomon's striving after all those things was, it's just vanity. It's just worthless. you know, at the end of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." You see, we're accountable to God because he gave us our life. And we're going to stand before him one day and give him an account of our life. Well, which will it be? Will it be this kind of self-indulgent living on earth in luxury and just hoarding our wealth and not being willing to lift a finger to help anyone else? Or will we realize that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that we will turn to him and that we will follow in his footsteps, that we'll obey the gospel, we'll be baptized into Christ, we'll walk in newness of life, we'll repent and turn from luxury and self-indulgence and treating people scornfully and with injustice, and we'll do what's right. And here's one more thing in verse 6. That he condemns them for. He says in verse 6, "You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you." So here's where it really gets bad, is not only were they robbing them and using some of that for their own self-indulgence, but then it was actually like these rich were bringing those into court that could not help themselves. They were the ones that were crying out. They were the ones that were saying, "Hey, you haven't paid us right." And so they were actually seemingly bringing them into the court, those that were complaining against them, and using the courts to have them condemned and even murdered to get them off their backs. And they couldn't even do anything about it. Well, let me tell you something. That's not what the courts are to be there for. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting in verse 8. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 8. Listen to what God has to say about the judicial system under the first covenant. He says, "If cases come before you, before your courts, that are too difficult for you to judge, whether bloodshed or lawsuits or assaults, take them to the place the Lord your God will choose. Go to the Levitical priests and to the judge who is in office at the time. Inquire of them and they will give you a verdict. You must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. Be careful you do everything they instruct you to do. Act according to whatever they teach you and the decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you to the right or to the left. Anyone who shows contempt for the judge or for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God is to be put to death. You must purge the evil from Israel." And so, you know, that's what that's how the courts were to be. They were to be there in lieu of God's decision even. And that means that they were to be just. They were to be impartial. They were not to fail to do the right thing. And so if you look in Exodus chapter 18, Exodus chapter 18, and verse 21, Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, to bring them all but the most very difficult cases." And so judges were not to be greedy. They were not to be partial. They were not to tolerate perjury. They were not to take bribes. They were to do what's right. And so basically here is the conclusion of the matter from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and starting in verse 17. It says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life which is truly life." All right, we've talked about how we ought to be rather than what those that were rich and ungodly are to be. And so let's listen to our second song this morning. This is also by Skillet. It's called Awake and Alive. Let's listen. Folks, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Let's be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Amen. Hey, come and visit us at the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. You can come meet with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have Bible study and prayer. You can find out more about us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com. We'd love for you to get to know us better, and we sure would love to get to know you better on a personal basis. Again, thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast. We're thankful for the radio station and for all of you who are listening. As we say always at the end, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.